So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're going to look briefly tonight at a subject I think is one of the key in the local church, and that's the subject of the Word of God. We realize that the foundation for ministry, for service and growth, not only for the church as a whole, but each individual, is the Word of God. God has revealed Himself to mankind. He has done it in a number of ways, but one of the key ways is the written Word of God. God makes Himself known, which is called revelation, but God making Himself known in written revelation is called inspiration. And so we want to look and think about the Word of God tonight. We want to see some truths concerning the Bible. It's important to us and how we should respond to the Word of God. And so I think it'd be an encouragement. It's powerful. I love the Bible. I think it's the foundation for everything that we do. And we'll talk about it as we go through. Let's start with a prayer and then we'll get into the importance of the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thank You for each one that is here. What a great time we have as we come together and we sing those great songs. Lord, we want to worship You. We want to respond to You and singing and praying and studying the Word and all of these different things, Lord. So thank You for tonight that we can come together as believers. We thank You for Your Word, which is perfect. And Lord, as we think about Your Word tonight, Lord, we want to be encouraged as we study it, as we seek to know it in our lives and apply it and then pass it on to others. So Lord, we ask You to teach us tonight as we look at Your Word. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, by the grace of God, I got to go to Dallas Seminary. I consider it an incredible school. It is an outstanding school. It's a hard time. It was a hard 4 years for me. It was for a master's of theology at Dallas Seminary, it takes 124 hours or something like that for a master's, and it's fantastic. But there's a sign outside the school that has 2 Timothy 4:2 on it, which is sort of the theme of the seminary, and it says, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience and instruction. It says, preach the word. It didn't say preach stories or give your opinion. It said, preach the Word of God. The goal of that seminary is to train men and women to really understand the Word, and especially for men to preach it or proclaim it clearly. We come together this evening, we want to think about the Scripture, the Word of God, its importance in our lives. As we begin, let me raise some questions just for you to think about. What's your authority? As you seek to make an impact for Christ, what's the authority in your life? Do you have a method to study the Word of God so you can know it and understand it and make application and then pass it on to others? What part does God's Word have in you fulfilling the Great Commission? How does it all fit together? We understand, and I really tell you that, without the Scripture, without the Word of God as the foundation, we have really nothing. Our ministries, our lives, our church, all that we do goes back to the Word of God. So we want to do several things tonight. I've got a couple of things just put up there. As we look at the importance of God's Word, several things. First of all, we want to see the importance of the Bible in the life of Jesus Christ. We want to look very quickly at what He did. Then second, if we want to see some truths concerning the Bible, I think there's seven truths I just want you to just touch on very quickly about the Bible. Third is our response to the Bible. What should we do? And then the last thing is, how do we keep God's Word as the focus in our lives and ministry? So how do we do that? So we will see importance in the life of Christ, some truths, how do we respond, our response to the Bible, and then how do we keep it as the focus? So there's a number of things we'll look at. We'll go through it fairly quickly. I just want you to see some of this. Let's think about this. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. It's that simple. As believers, we're to make known the good news of Christ to others, to this world. We go into this community with the great truth. We proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. He died and rose again and paid for sin. The Bible tells us that we are new people in Christ, that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now, all the things I told you, that we have eternal life by faith and we're to go into this world and we're new people in Christ, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, we're ambassadors for Christ. How do we know all that? Well, we know it because we go find it in the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us all that. The Bible is our source of truth and information. It's about the truth about God, about man, about salvation, about Jesus Christ, about ministry, about eternal life, on and on and on. We go back to the Scripture. That's the key. The Bible is the most important thing that we have as we seek to make a difference for Jesus Christ. So let's take a look tonight at the Bible. We're going to go through it fairly quickly. I want you to think about the Bible. It's important. So the very first thing that we want to see, I think, is the next slide. It should be the importance of the Bible in the importance of the Word of God in the life of Jesus Christ. So you're in Mark chapter 1. I want you to realize that from the very beginning, think about Jesus. He is called the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's called the Word. He is the living Word. He also spoke and proclaimed the written Word. When he walked on this earth, he spoke plainly truths of God and proclaimed clearly what we call God's Word. When he was tempted by the devil, where did he go? Where did he go? Anybody know? He went where? He may know where he went when he was tempted. He went to the same book. He went three places. Deuteronomy. That's one of our favorites, isn't it? Deuteronomy. Don't we always? Everybody loves Deuteronomy. Jesus knew it pretty well, and he wrote it. But he knew it pretty well, but he used it. What about in the synagogue in Nazareth? Do you remember when he went into the synagogue in Nazareth that day, and they handed him the scroll, and he opened it to a reading to a certain place, and he talked about the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to proclaim the good news. Anybody know where that was? It was what? Isaiah 61. You're exactly right. There it is. He gave out the truth of God's Word. Now, notice Mark chapter 1, look at verse 21. This is Jesus. It says, they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. Wow. Notice, they were amazed at his teaching. Now, what is he teaching? He's teaching the Word of God. He is the Word. I mean, he's the living Word, and he's given the written Word, and he's given truth. And it says, they were amazed at his teaching. Why? For he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So I want you to understand that when you teach the Word of God is the authority. Now, Jesus at that time, of course, is authority. But when you look at it, the Word of God is the authority. And if you want to have authority when you teach, it's not that you're the authority. It's the Word of God that is the authority. And if you can always go to the Bible, then you can speak with authority. Notice, they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not like the scribes. Scribes didn't teach the Bible. Scribes didn't know the Bible. They knew some things, but they didn't know the Scripture. In fact, if you go throughout history, and here's one of the things that you will notice. You can find it at the time of Christ. You can find it all throughout history, all the way up to even to modern times, that many times when people say, what's right, instead of going to the Scripture, they go to writings about the Scripture. If you talk to Jewish people today, and if you went to any Jewish so-called scholar, and you said, tell me truth, they look up what people say. They look up at the writings of their famous teachers. They don't go to the Scripture. And even today, there are certain people, if you go to them, and you say, what is this? They will say, well, the Westminster Confession says. Who cares what the Westminster Confession says? People use that. So what you want is the Word of God. Jesus taught with authority, not like the scribes. He is the Son of God, and he was teaching the Word of God. I love Jesus' statement in John chapter 5, verse 39. You don't have to turn there. He says, you study the Scripture? Good, because the Scripture speaks of me. That's what Jesus said. He talked about him. So Jesus Christ in his ministry taught the Word of God. It's an incredible thing. That's what he did. And he taught over and over truths from God's Word. I still, you know, and I go back to the temptation. You go to that. That's the very first aspect of his ministry. As immediately after he was baptized, set apart to identify with mankind to be the Savior, he is led by the Spirit right out into the wilderness to be tempted. And when the temptation comes, he goes right back to the Word of God. When temptation comes in your life, where should you go? The Word of God. It's powerful. So Jesus, we've been sent out by Jesus as his ambassadors. What are we to do? We're to teach the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul told Timothy, take the things that he'd been taught in the presence of many witnesses and trust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. So the very first thing I want you to see, that the Word of God was important in the life of Jesus Christ. There's a second thing, and that is, let's see some important truths concerning the Bible. I think I have seven. I can't remember seven or eight, but I want you to see them. Here's the first one. It's our authority. It is our authority. And I mentioned it a while ago, but when you speak and when you teach, use the Scripture. I've told this before, and Seventh Heaven, remember it came out, it's the story of the pastor and all the kids and all that. And I'm always amazed that he's never at the church. I mean, and what if his church is really for a quick counseling thing, and then he's at home. He's always at home. And I thought, well, that's amazing. But anyway, one night I remember watching the show. And, you know, the first couple of years we watched it some because it had some pretty good stuff. But one time they came and the show was about the fact that they were going to have his Sunday service on television. They'd come to him and say, we're going to put your Sunday service on television this Sunday. And so for the whole week, it showed him in the movie or in the TV show trying to figure out what to say for Sunday morning. And he showed him at his desk, and he had his pencil, and he was throwing paper away, and he was trying to come up with them. He was asking all kind of people, what do you think I ought to talk about on Sunday? But it never occurred to him to use the Bible, right? He just had to figure out what he was going to talk about on Sunday morning. The authority is the Scripture. And by the grace of God, I do not make up sermons. You guys know that, and we've talked about it before. I want you to know, first of all, I'm not smart enough to do it. I'm not. I'm not clever enough. I'm not good enough. I could not sit down in my office and say, okay, what can I talk about Sunday, and what verse can I find that will match that? And then how can I come up with the 6 illustrations and the 3 points and the poem and everything and get all that together and then be able to do that in a good way? I can't do that. I don't have to make up anything. I just go to 1 Samuel 16. That's what's next on Sunday morning. And Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, that's what's next on Sunday night. And Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 10, that's what's next on Wednesday night. And I'm not coming up with anything. I'm just studying it and teaching it, because that's what we're supposed to do, because it's the authority. The pastor's not the authority. The church is not the authority. The denomination's not the authority. The Word of God is the authority. Wow. In the first century, the apostles were the authority. Because that's what apostolos means. Apostolos, or an apostle, was one sent forth with authority. And when Paul and Peter and John and those guys went out, they were the authority. But they continued to give written revelation, which we put together as the Word of God. And when that last apostle, John, died in about 95, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he died. But the canon of Scripture, of course, is the authority. So you have authority in your hands. It is the Word of God. There's a second thing, and it's inspired. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and if you want to turn there for a second, turn over there. A couple of places I'm going to ask you to turn. I know it's harder when you have to turn to different places, but 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 16. It's a famous verse. Probably every one of us, or many of us, if you've ever had a 2-2 or a 4-12, or you've been in some small groups, you've memorized 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, now this is New American Standard, says it this way, all Scripture is inspired by God. It really is the word God breathed. It's a Greek word for God, theos, and the Greek word for breath is pneuma, starts with a P, pneuma, but you know, like pneumonia, it looks like that. But it literally is the word that means God breathed. It's like God breathed it through us, and through the writers. That's what inspired means. It's inspired from God. It is God's revelation in a written form. Now, to me, that's the most amazing thing to think about, that we have the living God who made everything, holds it all together, put it together, is everything, and he decided he would communicate to us. And he didn't say something, and then it was just passed down, and people might say, what did he say? I didn't get it. Did you? You know, it is in a written form that you can know it. A written form. That's what inspiration is. Inspiration is God making himself known in a written form from God to man. And let me tell you, you hold in your hand a copy of the written revelation from God. That's an incredible truth. It's inspired. There's a third thing, ties right in it. It's profitable for our benefit. Same verse. Notice it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. That means it is for our benefit. We should study it. We got the Bible because it's profitable for teaching, reproof, and for correction, for training. It shows us, it basically teaches us God's Word, shows us where we're wrong, shows us how to get right, shows us how to stay right. So that is verse 17 says, so that the man of God, that the person, the believer, may be adequate. That word means mature. That we'd be mature and equipped for every good work. It's profitable for us. So as you think about the word, it is our authority. It is inspired from God. It is profitable for our benefit. There's a fourth thing. It's alive. It's alive. We know Hebrews 4:12. I want you to turn there, though, because it's pretty close to Timothy. 2 Timothy and then Titus and then Philemon and Hebrews, and go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, which is a famous verse. And once again, many of you have memorized this verse because it is so famous. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And goes, you know, it's an incredible word. It says, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, both of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If you're there at Hebrews 4:12, notice what it says. The Word of God is living and active. It is amazing. Have you ever studied the Bible, or you ever been reading the Bible, and somehow something just jumps out and you go, good gracious, I don't know if I've ever thought of that before. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. It's because the Word of God is what's alive. It's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, goes right to the heart of the issue. In fact, it says piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow. And then I like the last part of the verse, able to judge the thoughts and intentions. The Word of God is able to judge what we think and why we think it. So study it, because it's going to touch your life. It's going to change your life. It's going to make you different. It's going to affect you. But going right along with that, not only is it alive, it is effective. Now, this is one of my favorite verses. And I want you to turn there, because I hate to ask you to turn all around, but go to Isaiah 55. The reason I like this verse so much is it is an encouragement to me when you teach the Word. You remember, we teach the Word because it's the authority, and it's inspired, and it's profitable, and it's alive, but it's also effective. Isaiah 55:11 basically says that God's Word always accomplishes what He wants it to do. So when you get there, let's look at it together in just a second. I'm going to give everybody just a second to get to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:11 says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. You know what he says? My word never comes back void. It will always accomplish the purpose that I have set. That means when we're teaching tonight, and that people in this room, there are some who are fairly new Christians. There are some who have been Christians for years. There are some who are growing. There are some who are maybe not growing. There are some who understand this truth. There are some who understand this. And yet when you teach the Word of God, we're all different levels of maturity, growth, knowledge, everything. And yet the Word of God, this particular passage is whatever we teach, will go out and touch your life in the way that God wants His Word to touch your life. It'll never come back void, but accomplish whatever purpose He has in your life. That's why you can never worry about teaching the Word. When you say, I'm going to teach the Word, you're in great shape, because it's going to touch lives. It's alive, it's profitable, it's inspired, it's the authority, but it's effective. That's why on a Sunday morning, somebody could say, do you mean to tell me 1 Samuel 15 is what everybody in that whole church needs? Yes. Yes. Because God will take it and He will use it to touch your life. If you're awake, He will use it to touch your life in the way that He wants it to. It'll never come back void. It never will. I was really encouraged. I talked to a guy this week, and he came to see me. He said, I just want you to know, and he's talking about last week's, not this morning's message, but last week's message. And he said, you know those three applications? And he went, boom, boom, boom. He said, I wrote those down, and that's exactly what I needed this week. I said, well, probably you and me are the only two people that even know those three applications that we gave out. But the bottom line was, it hit him exactly what he needed. And there may be just one part of that passage or part of this passage tonight that's going to affect you the way God wants to affect you. But it is effective. And so when you get to teach and somebody says, will you do a little Bible study, or will you come do prayer breakfast, or will you come do this, or will you take a CBI class, or will you do a thing? Don't say, wonder what I can do. Say, where from the Word of God can I teach truth to people? Because it's the authority, and it's inspired, and it's profitable, and it's alive, and it's effective. It's always that way. But there's more. The next one, it's the truth. John 17:17, you remember Jesus said, thy word is truth. We have a world in which nobody knows what the truth is. Everybody's going around saying, well, this is what's truth for me. And this is what, and actually they'll say, actually, it's what I believe is okay. But everybody's got their own truth, so, which means this truth may contradict this truth. So ultimately, none of that's the truth. But the bottom line is, we have the truth. We have the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. It is certain. In a world full of uncertainty, we have the Bible. And you know, you can speak and you can say, well, the Word of God says this. And it's truth. And you know, one thing I love about the Bible, I remember when I was learning about track, and when I was learning about coaching, and I was learning about training, especially distance runners and all. And did you know that every now and then a new thing would come out, and another track coach was saying, here's new ways to do this. We found this old way doesn't work, or this is a lot better. And I thought, man, you gotta just always keep learning all this new stuff, and it always changes, and who knows what's best. But with the Bible, Whenever you learn something from the Bible, it never changes. If Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, guess what? Joshua fought it. It's never going to change. And when he says the word of God is alive and powerful and sharpening two-edged sword, it is, and it's never going to change. And when he says it's effective, it's effective. When he says it's profitable, it's profitable. When it's our authority, it is our authority. And it is the truth. And you can always go back to the word of God as the truth. Last thing of this, it helps us grow. The word of God helps us grow. 1 Peter 2:2. Turn over there if you can, toward the back. Hebrews and James, and then 1 Peter, almost toward the back. When you think about Peter, he's an amazing man. Because here's the guy that Jesus said, you know, Peter, Satan really wants to get you and sift you, but I'm going to take care of you. And then when you come back, you're going to be the rock. And he did. And, you know, Peter knew about growing. He knew about changing. Because if you talk to Peter, he would say, you know, there were a lot of things I said that I should have kept my mouth shut. But now that I'm older and wiser, that I've grown in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because Peter's the one who said, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But look what he says about the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And when you see that, when he says salvation, he's not talking about eternal life salvation there. He's talking about Christian life salvation. You know, you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. Justification, sanctification, glorification. We've taught those things before. He's talking about that you may grow in your Christian life. What's the basis for growth in the Christian life? It's the sincere milk of the Word of God. You want to grow? You got to study the Bible. Like a newborn baby, you long for the pure milk of the Word so you can grow. And we should grow. I think the great verse, which is our Awana verse, study to show yourself approved. Study the Word of God. Be diligent, as the New American Standard says it. The King James says study. That's what the idea is there. Dig it. Get into it. I think it's amazing when you see people study the Bible for the first time. In our 4:12 class, we have a lesson in which we take Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just one verse, and we do what we call observation, interpretation, application. And when we observe it, we ask those questions, who, what, where, when, why, how, and all that. And it's amazing you get people in and say, okay, we're going to look at this one verse. Now, we have to look at the context around the verse, but let's ask the first question, who, what, where, when, why, how. It is amazing that to watch people for the first time actually get the who. They never even thought about the who or the what or the where or the when. And then all of a sudden there's stuff all over that board. And they're going, yeah, look at all that that's in there. And I said, all we've done is observe. We ain't even got to the interpret part yet. We just observed the passage. It is amazing to watch people eat up the word. And we should. So he says, look, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow. Well, you think about the Bible. It's our authority. I'm so glad it's the authority. It's inspired. I'm so glad that it is from God to us. It's profitable. I'm so glad that it is for our benefit to help us grow. I'm glad it's alive and powerful and it touches lives. I'm glad it's effective and never comes back void. I'm so glad it's the truth that you can depend on. And I'm so glad it is the key to help us grow. With that in mind, it takes to the third big question is, what's our response to the Bible? Well, Ezra, as you know, and without turning there, says Ezra purposed in his heart that he was going to do three things. He was going to study the law of the Lord, to practice it, and to teach its ordinance and statutes in all Israel. The response to the Bible goes back to Ezra 7, which is study, apply, and teach. That's what we should do. Those three things. I think one of the great verses in life is saying, I'm going to plan to do what Ezra said he was going to do. The passage in Ezra 7:10, it says, Ezra purposed in his heart. The word purpose there means he made a conscious decision. He decided he was going to do something. And we decide to do things all the time. We decide we're going to come to church, we're going to take this, we're going to do that, we're going to go over here, we're going to do that. He decided that he would study the law of the Lord, which that we'd say study the Word of God. And then he said, and to practice it, which means to apply it in his life, and then to teach it, teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. He's going to teach it to others. So the big three, you study the Word, you live out the Word, you pass on the Word. That's our response to the Word of God. I want to go into a little bit more details on that. Let's start with the study of the Word. That's to dig it. Let me ask you this question. We talk about quiet time, and we always say everybody needs to have a quiet time, and everybody needs to have time alone with God every day. And of course, you don't need to feel guilty if you can't get it every day. You can't. I mean, there may be something happen, but on a consistent basis, you ought to be alone with God, and you ought to pray and to read and all that. But then there's a different thing. I call it Bible study. I think that's different than a quiet time. Bible study is where you're digging the Scripture. And you could ask this question, do you have a time, whether it's weekly or every other week or every so many days, that you're actually studying the Scripture on your own? You may say, okay, I'm going to study Ephesians while we go Ephesians on Sunday night, and I'm going to try to study ahead so I can see what it says, and then when I go on Sunday night, I'll see if JB knows what I know, you know, and see if it matches and that kind of stuff. And so we ought to study the Word of God, digging the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed. I like the last part, handling accurately the Word of God. Old translation would be rightly dividing the Word of God. And that's a great one because it's saying know how the Bible fits together. And I think it's important because I see a lot of mistakes that people make in their interpretation of the Bible is based on the fact that they are not rightly dividing the Word of God. They're not handling accurately. We're not under the Mosaic Law. Let me give you an example. We're not under the Mosaic Law. We've never been under the Mosaic Law. I got an article off the internet on this newsletter. I don't know how I get it. This guy sent a newsletter, and his article was, it was a two-page article, but his article was how we as Christians are under the Mosaic Law and we should be living out the Mosaic Law. And that's the Christian life. He's way off. We're not under the Mosaic Law. We've never been under the Mosaic Law. So when you rightly divide God's Word, you don't make those kind of mistakes. So that's why you study it. Advice to you as you study is study from what we call the historical literal grammatical interpretation. Some people just call it the literal interpretation, but historical literal grammatical means you study it in its historical context. You study it literally, what do the words mean? You study it grammatically, how they fit in the sentences. So you can see how it is. You study it in its context. You see what the words mean. You see how it fits in the sentence. You know what it is saying. Because it's so easy to pull one verse and make it say anything you want. That's why you do observe, interpret, and apply. Let me give you an example of the problems with people pulling out a verse. Where two or three gathered in my name, there I am with you. How many times have you heard that for prayer? That if you could just get two or three of us together and pray, then God's with us. But if you study carefully the context of that passage, it's dealing with church discipline. And that's the Matthew 19 passage where he's going down and dealing with church discipline and saying basically remove the people from the body. And when he says it, so when two or three are gathered in my name dealing with this issue, I'm with you. So when you remove them from the body, you're following in my instructions. That's the context of the passage. One of my other favorite ones is let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And people say, what does that mean? Well, it means that if you got a decision to make, if you got peace about it, you're okay. That has nothing to do with decision making. You go to that passage in Colossians, it's actually telling Christians to get along with each other. And when he says, let the peace of God rule, the word rule means umpire. Let the peace of God rule in your plural hearts. He is saying, Christians, if you look at the context, he's saying, Christians, learn to get along with each other and let the peace of God umpire and be the rule in your lives. It's not talking about making a decision. So we should study the Word so we can know how it fits. The second part of that is to apply it, to make application in our lives. And in Philippians 4, Paul talks about living out what you have learned. This is where we get stopped, I think. I think it's pretty easy to gain knowledge, to study, especially if you like to study, to gain knowledge. And you can get tapes and you can get records and books and everything in the world. And you can get them and you can listen to them and go, yeah, I got that. That's good truth, good truth. The key is, what are you going to do with all the truth? Are you just going to keep putting it in and go, I'm getting more and more? Or are you going to be living it out as well? And the key is to make application of the things that we know. The goal of the study of the Word of God. Before I met Prof. Hendricks, if you'd have said to me, the goal of the study of the Word of God, and I would have said, is knowledge so I can know it. I study it so I can know it. Prof. Hendricks said, the goal of the study of the Word of God is application. You study it so you can know it, so you can apply it. And that's what it's all about. So we study the Word of God so that we can know it, so we can apply it. And then finally, the third thing there is to teach others. I take the 2 Timothy 2:2, which is what we based our 2:2 study on. And it says, take the things you've been taught in the presence of many witnesses and trust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. I shorten it by saying, be taught and teach others. You get taught, and then you teach other people. That's the key. We're to pass on God's word. All of us in this room would say we have a responsibility to evangelize, to tell people about Jesus. Every one of us in this room would say that when we go out into this community and scatter, we have the great privilege and responsibility to share our faith. But most of us probably do not think that we have exactly the same responsibility to teach other people the Bible. We'd say, no, I'm supposed to evangelize, but somebody else is supposed to teach. We're all supposed to take the things we've been taught and pass them on to others. We're to study it, we're to apply it, and we're to teach other people. That's our response to the Word. That's why 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the Word, teach it to others. I think that's the Great Commission. Make disciples, evangelism and training. Lead people to Christ and train them in the truth of the Bible. How do we know the Bible? How do we know the Gospel? How do we know the Word? Well, we study it, we apply it, and we pass it on. Finally, and this is the last thing we'll look at, how can we keep God's Word as the focus in our lives and ministry? Now, there's a bunch of things. I mean, I could just name out 10 things. There's only two things I want you to think about, because we've already talked about studying it and applying it and all these other things. I want you to think about two things that you can help keep the focus of God's Word in your life and in your ministry. Number one is to memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin. Paul says in Philippians, take these things and think on them. We must put the Word of God in our hearts. I got a group of guys that are on Wednesday morning and Thursday morning. We meet every Wednesday and every Thursday. And we have this list of verses. And they're just like a page, and there's a whole bunch. I mean, there's like 9 different sections with about 6 or 7 verses in each one. That's page one. Then we have another, we call those essentials. And then we got another page called mega essentials. And that's got about a bunch of them on there too. And then we got a third page that says more mega essentials. And what we're doing in that group of guys, we memorizing the verses. And every time we come together, I say, who's ready for one section? And when they do that section, they just give them to all the guys, and we move them to the next section till we get through that page. Then we go to the next page. What they're doing is putting the Word of God in their minds. I'm telling you that it is very effective to take the truths of God's Word and put them in your mind. It has been very beneficial to me as the pastor to be teaching on a Sunday morning to say, study to show yourself to prove the workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. I don't have to go, it says, study to show, what, I don't remember what that is. No, I know what that verse says because I memorized it. And you can too. And you do. Many of you know these verses, and you can just rattle them off. And you can say, you know, all Scripture is inspired of God, is profitable for teaching, for proof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Put it in your mind. He says, that word have I put in my heart that I might not what? Sin. It's there for us. Get a friend. If you're not in a small group with somebody, get a friend and say, let's memorize verses. Come by the office. Say, JB, will you give me those list of verses? I'll say, sure, for a price. I'll get into it. Yeah, we'll get them, and you can have them, and you can memorize them. Okay, there's a second thing we do. Meditate. Psalm 1 and Joshua 1 talks about, you know, the man meditates on the Scripture day and night. Joshua was told to meditate. The word meditate literally turns it over in your mind. There is some confusion, and you've heard me teach this before, but when people talk about meditation and they talk about yoga and meditation, that's not what we're talking about. The biblical meditation is not anything like that. Meditation in these groups, which are, especially yoga, which is false religion, is to clear your mind and to try to let something come into your mind. The meditation in the Bible is not that at all. It's not clearing your mind. It's taking the truth from God's Word and thinking about it in all the ways. In fact, the Greek word and the Hebrew word for meditate means to turn it over. It's like saying, I'm going to look at it from every angle. I'm going to see how this fits together. Study to show yourself approved. Now, what does it mean to study? And what does it mean to be approved? And approved to who? A workman need not be ashamed. What do you mean? I'm a workman? Well, ashamed before what? Handling accurately. What does it mean to handle accurately the Word of God? So meditation would be taking that one little verse and turning it over in your mind and seeing how it fits together. That's what meditation is. So in summary, the Bible is the key for our lives and ministry. Jesus Christ taught the Bible. We're to study it, know it, apply it, pass it on to others. It's our authority. It's alive. It's effective. It's truth. So we can grow. Now let me give you some applications. The first one is realize the importance of the Bible in your life. Realize how it is. It's alive. It's effective. It's powerful. It's authoritative. It's the truth from God. It's the key. So just realize what you have. Don't take it for granted. I can remember the first Bible I ever had. Today I come into my office and the ladies meet in my office. And one of them said, we borrowed one of your Bibles off your desk. And it was the first Bible I ever had. when I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 19 years old, Knapp bought me a Bible. I never had a Bible. And I got it on my desk right now. And I remember getting that Bible for the first time and going, I got a Bible. This is my Bible. You know? Realize what you really have. It may be old, it may be new. It is the Word of God that you have in your hand. Realize the importance of the Bible in your life. It is alive and effective and authoritative. It never comes back void. It's the truth. It's from God. There's a second application, and that is get a time to study the Word. You got to study it. You got to get into it. You got to put it together. Dig it. And if you say to yourself, I don't know about this historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. I don't know how to do all that. Well, let me tell you. If you don't know for sure, go through one of the 4:12s because we have a 2 or 3 lessons in there that actually teach you how to study the Scripture for yourself. If you say, I can't get into a 4:12 right now, but I want to know, come by and see me. I'll take some time. I'll show you a really quick, basic way that you can get into the Scripture for yourself so you can study it. And since we have time to study it, and we should make that time to study it, know it so you can apply it so that you can pass it on. I mean, think about your life is that you are here on this earth to be a representative of Christ, to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. So not only do you want to share your faith with people, but you want to know the Scripture so you can teach them the truth as well. That takes us to our last application, and that is put God's Word in your mind. Memorize it and meditate on it. We want to do that. Get you a program, a plan that you memorize verses. You know, it really helps because a lot of those sheets, I know a lot of those verses because I've studied them before, and every year we start over with our group and we get back and say, okay, let's roll through them again so we put them in our minds. But you know, it's always good when you memorize something new. And for our WANA this year, it's, I forgot, what is it, Proverbs? What is it? Proverbs 3:5-6. Proverbs 3:1-13. We're memorizing that. And it's kind of fun to memorize it. And, you know, and of course we all know, we already got 3:5-6 already. We got those two verses there. Everybody knows those. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean out on your understanding. All your ways of knowledge, and He'll direct your paths. So it's fun to memorize that. I'm sitting in the car driving and going, okay, my son, to keep my commandments and do not do this and do it. It will be bad. You know, it's fun to put the Word of God in your mind. So study it, memorize it, meditate on it. May we know and apply and teach as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray and then we'll open up for questions or comments. Heavenly Father, thank you for truth about the Word of God and how perfect it is. And Lord, we just want to realize how important it is that we actually have written revelation in our hands. We have your Word. And it is so incredible, Lord, that you have given it to us and that it is the truth and it helps us grow and it's alive and it's powerful and it's profitable and it's inspired and it's effective and it's all of these things and it's the authority in our lives. So, Lord, help us to realize how important it is. Lord, may we have a time in which we dig the Word, in which we seek to study it so we can know it and apply it so then we can pass it on to others. So help us to know the Word, live out the Word, and pass on the Word. And then, Lord, finally, may we put the Word of God in our minds. May we meditate on it. May we memorize it. May we memorize verses and truths and sections so that as we go through life, your Word we've hid in our heart that we won't sin, that we'll live righteously and godly, and we'll know what's right, and we'll be able to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. Help us, Lord, as we do this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.